Amen. Amen. Kitten, thanks for those words of testimony for our website and the love of Christ in this place. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. It's neat to hear from new folks, new voices, what they have received from the Lord in this place. If you would turn with me, first of all, what's probably the most well-known passage in Scripture? John 3:16. That's where we're going to turn today. On back to the basics. I want to set this scripture up. So many times we may have even memorized this scripture as a child. We've been probably hearing this scripture. Even if you weren't raised in the church, you've probably heard this scripture most of your life. I want to set the stage a little bit. You may or may not be aware of this. These are the words of Christ, okay? These are the words of Christ that we will read in just a moment. But Nicodemus was one of the Jewish leaders, and he came to Jesus and was prepared to ask him all sorts of questions, and Jesus launched right into the kingdom and how to be part of the kingdom. And one of the things that I really love that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, because Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was thinking in physical terms, and he just didn't get it. And he said, "Well, how can a person go back in the womb and actually be birthed again?" And Jesus said, "No, you got it all wrong. I'm not talking about a physical birth." He said that you must be born of water and the Spirit. Now, you've heard me say before, if you've been here long, that I believe, because of the context of that passage, I don't believe that Jesus is talking about baptism. We'll get into baptism a little bit more in a minute. But I believe he's talking about not only must we be physically born, because of physical birth, we understand that the mother's water breaks, and it's through the water breaking that the child is born. And so I believe he's talking about not only do we have to be physically born, but we have to be spiritually born. There's something in the spiritual realm that has to take place in order for us to be a part of the kingdom. And so Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus. And it's in that context that Jesus says these words, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Have you ever thought about those are the words of Jesus talking about himself? We read that, and I think many times we just think, "Oh, that John said that." No, these are the words of Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was a little boy, I know you can't imagine this, but I was kind of a ring-tailed tutor, as they say. I had to, no, it's I know you can't believe that. But I was a little boy. Let's just leave it at that. If you had boys, you understand what I'm talking about. And all kinds of stories. One of the things that to this day I'm being paid back for this. We had a really grumpy older gentleman. He was probably, I thought he was elderly. He was probably like 55, about my age. But anyway, we had an older gentleman that lived next door to us, and he was grumpy. He didn't want us playing in his yard and stuff like that all the time. And man, this wasn't all that fond of this neighbor. And he would go out to his mailbox every day and get his mail, and I found me a horny toad one day. And I put this horny toad in his mailbox, and then I sat back in the bushes about mail time to see what he would do. And, to this day, we have this mailbox that one of those group mailboxes in our neighborhood, and especially at night, I just don't want to reach up in there. I think God is saying, "See there? See there? You're thinking there might be a horned toad up there or something." But, you know, I did all sorts of things growing up. And another one of my stories, my brother and I and a friend of his, we were visiting my grandmother in Winters. Winters, that's where I was born, Winters, Texas. I'm a Winters Blizzard. We were sleeping out in the backyard. She let us sleep out in the backyard, and my brother had a BB gun. Now, three young boys sleeping out in the backyard in a little rural town with a BB gun is not a great combination. Well, we're shooting things, you know, little berries off of trees and whatnot, and there's a road that was a ways away, about 100 yards or so, that passed behind my grandmother's house. And it's late at night. Here comes a car. And we're thinking, there ain't no way. So we start harassing my brother, shoot at the car. And we convinced him it wasn't that hard to do. And he kind of looked like one of those army mortars, you know, where he just kind of set it up at an angle. He didn't even aim. And he shot that thing, and there was long silence. And I'm not even going to tell you what the lady said. But come to find out the next day, the BB, she was driving, the BB had gone through the car window, missed the driver, and hit the person beside her in the earlobe. My brother got his BB gun back when he was 25 years old. We had rules growing up. Did anybody have rules? Did anybody ever get a whooping? We had this dog named Frankie, and every time Mom or Dad would come to whip us, this dog would go nuts. He did not like the fact that his boys were getting whipped. And but we got whippings. And I thank you, Mom. I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth. And I thank you for the whippings. You know, we had rules and we had consequences growing up, and that's getting to be more and more of a rare thing with young people. Anybody notice that? But we had consequences, and I may not be great, but I think I turned out okay. I'm not scarred too terribly bad because my mom and dad spanked me and had rules and made me behave. And you know, but the thing about growing up with mom and dad, there was justice in our home, but more than that, what has impacted me today is the love that was in my home. The justice, the rules and all of that was to help me to learn how to be a young man, to teach me what was best, to teach me how to behave, and also to protect me. And yet it was the love that endeared me to my parents and changed me to this day. It's the same way with God. Too many people see God as this great punisher that zaps us when we're bad. And we see God, and many times, even the ones that maybe have somehow gotten past that God zaps us when we're bad, many times in the church, we see God as this God of rules and regulations. That's all God is concerned about, is just having the law and commanding us what's right and what's wrong and making sure we toe the line. Well, I want to tell you, that is not the God I know. Yes, God is a God of justice, and yes, God has given us the law. It says in Romans that he has given us the law to make us aware, make us conscious of our sin, and also to show us that we can't do it. We can't do it. The law is set there for us to realize that the standard God has, the standard of holiness, we can't attain it. But it's through grace. It's through God's kindness. Romans, I didn't know that, Clay, I didn't know you guys were going to sing that song this morning. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. And that's found in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. God's kindness leads you toward repentance. And listen to Lamentations 3. It says, because of the Lord's great love, another translation is because of his great mercy, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. The love, the mercy, the compassion of God is what changes hearts. what transforms us. And I want us today, we're going to look a little closer at this passage that many of us maybe have learned and known all of our life. But there's four essential words I want us to really focus on out of this passage today that I think tell us so much. And the first one is that God loved. God loved. For God so loved the world. It wasn't for God so judged the world. And we'll talk more about judgment in just a minute. But Jesus is saying for it was his motive, God's motive for sending Jesus was love. It was not anything else. But for God so loved the world. Now this word love, if you look at it a little closer in the Greek, it's actually the word agape, and many of you have probably heard that word before, but that word agape, it's a different kind of love. Too many times we trivialize love in our culture and in our language. Oh, I love Coca-Cola, or I love playing golf, or I love certain type of shoes or whatever. I mean, or I love that TV show. We trivialize that word, but that's not the type of word that Jesus was saying that motivated God to send him. It's this word agape, to love without condition, to love without regard for love returned. And if you've ever talked to me, been in one of Cheryl and I's marriage classes, you've heard that, and if I've married you and done premarital counseling, we've talked about that. That love is when you say your vows when you're marrying someone, when you say your vows, it's not I promise to love you if you love me back. No, it's this unconditional love without regard for love returned, and that's. Not to get off subject, but that's really basically the problem with marriage today is even in the church, we forget that. But this word agape, to love without condition, to love without regard for love return, to love based on a high regard for the individual's inherent value. Now with that definition of that word agape, think back again. For God so loved. And you can put your name right after that. For God so loved Jeff. Put your name right there. For God so loved. I want you to say it. Everybody say their name right there with me. For God so loved. Say it again. For God so loved. To love without condition. To love without regard for love returned. You know, God sent Jesus and his motive was love. And he knew that a lot of people would reject him. He knew a lot of people would reject his one and only son. And to love based on high regard for an individual's inherent value. Did you know that you have inherent value? You don't have to. It's just because I used to tell my girls when they were little, and I'd say, Daddy loves you. And I'd say, do you know why? And they would say, no, I don't know why. And I would say, yeah. And I agreed many times, but I would say, Daddy loves you. Do you know why? And they would say, why? And I'd say, because you're Kirby, because you're Jordan. It's not because they had been good. It's not because it's like that. You know, when your child is born, they haven't done anything for you. They haven't, been good little boys and girls. No, you love them because they're your child. And that's the way we are with God. He sent Jesus. He loves us because we have inherent value to him. Because we are his. Second word. God loved and God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. This is, again, that word agape. It's an active word. It's a word of action. Stephen Covey, you've heard me say this before, that Stephen Covey calls it, an author of a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about love being a verb, this action. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling. Once again, that's what our culture and our language has made that word to be. But no, he says, no, love is a verb. Love is doing for one another. And so God, it wasn't this, it wasn't like God was sitting up there in the cosmos and he was looking down and he sent Jesus and he goes, I'm just going to send Jesus because I just feel warm and fuzzy about people. It wasn't this warm and fuzzy feeling. No, it was an action. He sent it. He gave. There was something. There was a cost. There was a cost for him to send Jesus. Listen to Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us. Remember, I want you to frame that word love differently than we think of it. He demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't say, oh, people have been really, really good, and I feel warm and fuzzy, and so I'm going to send Jesus to die on a cross. I'm going to give them my one and only son. No. While we were sinners, he sent him to die. So he sent us in this broken down state. Really, if we're really honest with ourselves, this worthless, broken state that we find ourselves in because of the condition of sin, that's the condition to which he sent his son to die for us. So God so loved that he gave. Aren't you? Is anybody glad for that?
Amen.
All right, now the emphasis shifting from God to us. The third word is we believe. God so loved that he gave that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Another word there that for belief is, many times they're interchangeable really, is faith. For us to have faith. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Now, this is not, and we're going to, in just a little bit at the end of the service, we're going to have a baptism. Brady Gay, that's my man over there, Brady. We're going to baptize Brady in just a little bit. But I'm going to ask Brady the traditional questions of the church as we come into a faith in Christ. Do we repent of our sin? Do we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? And so verbalization, this speaking with our mouth, confessing with our mouth, not just that we believe in who Jesus is, you know, but that we confess him as Lord. In other words, and did you know that there can't be two Lords? You can't be, God can't be Lord and us be Lord at the same time. So there's this surrendering of our own Lordship, if you will, and surrendering that and saying that, no, we're confessing Jesus is Lord. And then believe in your heart. There's that word. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's this confession of who Jesus is and that he was and is God's one and only Son, and that he died for us. We believe that, and we also believe that he accomplished what he said he would accomplish. He actually rose on the third day. We don't have the capacity to be perfect, and we don't have the capacity in us to pay the price for our own sins. But we have the capacity to believe. We have the capacity to believe. And that is what God requires of us, faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for all who believe. In Matthew 13, you find this, I found this really interesting as I was studying this week. Jesus is going around performing all sorts of miracles. He's healing the sick and he's casting out demons and he's raising the dead and he's walking on water. We just went through a bunch of his miracles in the last month or so. But he's performing all of these miracles, and then he goes to his hometown and it says that the people basically began to say, isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this guy that's speaking all this in the temple and all, isn't this Mary's son and Joseph's son? I mean, who's he? And here's what Jesus said. He said, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. So, man, I just grieved when I read that, and I'm thinking, what a gift his own hometown missed out on because they were seen with superficial eyes. They were seen with superficial eyes. And so I was thinking, how many of us are missing out on the real power of Christ in our life because we see with superficial eyes? We don't see who Jesus really is, and we don't have real belief and real faith in him and what he can do in our lives. And I think about people that are just in bondage with stuff in their life. Just, he can't fix my marriage. He can't fix that relationship. He can't help with my depression. He can't help with these addictions. He can't help with jobs. He can't help. We see, it's like, isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? He can't do that. Isn't that him? And we miss out on many miracles because of our lack of faith, because we see Jesus with these, and many times, I hate to say it, with church eyes. Well, church is just, you go to church and you're supposed to do it this way. This is how you do it. You know, you sing these songs and you have this order and all of this, the logic that we place on Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is bigger than all of that? He's bigger than all of that. I believe that I tell people all the time that come to my office in brokenness, and I tell them, you're in luck. Jesus specializes in hopeless situations. And that's his specialty. When we're broken and when we have nowhere else to turn, when we've got an ex-husband I can't forgive, Jesus specializes in those instances. He's the God of resurrection. And all he's asked of us is to believe in trusting, call on him. And finally, the fourth word in this passage today, this very critical core passage, is we live. For God so loved that he gave. If we believe, we live. I want to ask you a question. Carlene, once again, she read this scripture today. I didn't tell Carlene I was preaching out of this scripture today. You'd almost think God was trying to tell us something. I didn't tell her. Her children's sermon was John 3:16 today. I didn't tell her I was preaching out of this. I don't even think my wife knew what passage I was using today. How long is eternal life? She asked the kids that. How long is it? Come on. It's forever. That means that we live forever. We will not perish. We'll have eternal life. When does it start? When we die? Yeah, so many times we think, oh, someday I'll die and I'll have eternal life. No! You have life right now in Christ. In just a few moments, as I said, we're going to baptize Mr. Brady. And even the symbolism of baptism is you go down, you die at that moment. You die under the water. There's this symbolism of death. You die to sin and self, and you come up to new life, eternal life, abundant life, right then, forever. So if you're waiting for eternal life to begin, don't wait any longer. Say yes to Jesus. Jesus himself again said that he had come to provide life. And that we would have it, and we would have it to the full. We would have it more abundantly. Not someday, but now. I love that about Christ. He didn't just pave the way for eternity after we die. He paved the way for abundant life today. God has created a future for you and me through Christ. He is offering us eternal life today. He doesn't want us to spend eternity, including today, without Him. He wants us to live forever in His presence. And He has provided a way. And that way was a costly price. It cost the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and God gives us eternal life. Listen to the rest. People normally stop John 3:16. They normally stop. I want to read the next two verses. And these again, these are the words of Christ. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Now listen to this. Whoever believes, if you're a believer, it's talking about you. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. You and Christ are no longer condemned. Do you know that? And so if there's condemnation, if there's shame coming upon you, that's not from Christ. It's not from Christ. We know that's from the enemy. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus is saying, in me, you're not condemned. Apart from me, you stand condemned. That's the condition we come into this world in. And Christ has come to change that. God loves you. God gave His Son for you. Have you responded in faith? That's my question to you this morning. Have you responded in faith? This is the gospel message. This is the good news that you and I have in Jesus Christ. And we forget so many times. We get so caught up in all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it's the gospel. It's the good news of Christ that has transformed the world and has transformed me. And I pray has transformed you. Have you responded in faith? Have you received life? I want to ask you to just bow your heads. If the praise team will just stay seated for just a second. Just bow your heads with me. I want everyone, just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to listen to me. This Jesus was speaking to you. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. God loves you. And He is imploring you to respond to Him in faith. To say, yes, Jesus, I believe you. I confess that you're my Lord. And I want to receive life. If you've never done that, if you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just in the privacy of this moment with you and God, I want you to, as an act of surrender, I want you to raise your hand if you've never done that, but you're doing it this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this prayer of you. Lord, you know our hearts. We come to you in brokenness. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us and you gave Jesus for us. For those hands that went up, I pray life. In faith, we pray for life. that you would change everything. Change everything. Change relationships and change attitudes and change hearts. Free us for the joy of your salvation. Make us a joyful people, Lord. If we're not joyful, then no one has any reason to be joyful. We're joyful because you loved us and you gave Jesus up for us. Thank you, Jesus, for finding us worthy of the nails. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you raised your hand this morning, even in your heart, I pray that you'll seek me out after church. As we stand to sing another worship song, the altar rail is open. Payne, would you just, if someone comes up, would you be with them? I'm going to come around and get ready for the baptism. Let's stand as we close.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide.
Sing your love.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Brady, you ready, dude? I'm going to get you to stand right there on that platform right there while we talk for just a second. All right. This is Brady Gay. If you don't know Brady, he's a cool kid. And about a few weeks ago, he was at Vacation Bible School with his grandmother's church and accepted Jesus Christ in his heart as his Lord and Savior. And so he and I have talked with Mom and Dad, and he comes today to be baptized, and we're excited about that. Are you excited about that, Brady? All right, remember that we're going to ask some questions now. You ready? First, remember we talked about that word sin? It just means not pleasing God, not doing everything the way God would have us do it. And so do you admit that you're a sinner? And you ask God to forgive you of that? And you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you'll sit right there and sit down on that platform you were standing on. All right, hold your nose. We almost lost him. He's still there. All right. Hold your nose there, guy. Brady, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Just stay seated for just a second. That water's toasty, isn't it there, dude? Yeah. Family, friends that want to, you guys want to come up as we pray for Brady? Anybody that wants to? Cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends, everybody. If y'all can get in there, and we're just going to put it, if you can put a hand on him, if you can't reach him, just put it on somebody in front of you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that Brady has said yes to you. I thank you that you have said yes to him, and that you have already, Father, the angels are rejoicing. And you, I pray for abundant life for Brady. I pray that you'd raise him up, Father, that to be a godly young man. Father, protect him as he grows up physically, spiritually, and mentally. Just protect him. Father, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. May he, Father, just be a godly young man. Father, may he be a testimony to your goodness. Bless his family, God. Chris and Amanda, as they continue to raise Brady, give them wisdom and discernment and strength, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and tell somebody that God loves them and God gave them Jesus for them. We are dismissed.